Welcome to Formula One Plus One, where we break down the fastest sport on the planet into bite-sized episodes. Whether you're a seasoned fan fueled by passion or you've never watched a race in your life and just want to know what all the fuss is about, we welcome you. Get comfortable in your race seat because it's lights out and away we go. Welcome to episode 11. As promised, I'll be talking about the Suzuka Circuit, the home of the Japanese Grand Prix. I usually do a little track intro at the beginning of post-race episodes, but seeing as this is a track that I actually got to drive on, I thought I'd dedicate a whole episode to it. Truth be told, I've actually only ever visited this track, but it's my favorite circuit for more than just that reason alone, I promise. In preparation for this weekend's race, join me as I mix in some fun facts while I get into its history and then share my experience cruising down the Suzuka Circuit, which was amazing. Even if it wasn't a race weekend. So the first Japanese Grand Prix wasn't actually at the Suzuka Circuit. The Mitsubishi-owned Fuji Speedway hosted its first Grand Prix here back in 1976, but after a tragically fatal accident during the race the following year, Formula One did not renew the contract. It wasn't until 10 years later that we would see F1 return to Japan in 1987, this time at the Honda-owned Suzuka Circuit. The Japanese Grand Prix did return to the Fuji Speedway from 2007 and 8, while the Suzuka Circuit was undergoing renovations, and discussions were underway to alternate between the two tracks every year, but ultimately Toyota, who had bought the Fuji Speedway from Mitsubishi, decided F1 wasn't in their best interest, and that's why we get to see the amazing Suzuka Circuit every year. This will be the 36th F1 race at Suzuka, making it one of the longest standing race locales on the calendar. This year is the first time it's being held so early in the race season. Every other race in Japan prior to this has been held towards the end of the year, which means it's often been a championship deciding race, even if it wasn't necessarily the last race. From the very first race held at this track, championships have been won here. In 1987, it was between Nelson Piquet and Nigel Mansell, both driving for Williams and both not being a fan of each other. Mansell ended up crashing in qualies, not being able to participate in the race, and effectively handed the World Drivers' Championship over to Piquet. And fast forward to the 2023 Grand Prix, where Red Bull dominated the whole season and clinched the World Constructors' Championship here, even with six whole races left in the season. Japan moving 6 months up in the calendar will obviously take this excitement away from this year's race, but this track is so dope that I think it'll hold up well in its new spot. The permanence of the schedule change is still unclear. It sounds like they're marketing it as a chance to regionalize the calendar, since Japan is sandwiched in between the Australian and Chinese Grand Prix. Weather may play a part as well, since typhoon season hits Japan later in the year and adverse weather conditions aren't something out of the ordinary for this race. This is the track where a typhoon in 2014 caused havoc. Marussia driver Jules Bianchi crashed into a recovery vehicle that was attempting to remove a Sauber from the track that Adrian Sutil had crashed earlier. The injuries from this crash rendered Bianchi unconscious, and he remained in a coma for the 9 months prior to succumbing to his injuries. In the days leading up to this crash, he talked about being ready to be promoted. Jules was a product of the Ferrari Driver Academy and a test driver for Ferrari. With Fernando Alonso's contract ending with Ferrari that year, Jules was hopeful to get that chance. His passing was the last death that was caused by a race-related injury. It's been 10 years since this race, but his memory stays alive through the drivers, especially his godson, Charles Leclerc. Charles driving for Ferrari fulfilled a dream that was more than just his, and the safety changes that came from Bianchi's death have saved so many other drivers since then. This is something I might do an entire episode on because it's such a touching story and it's so fascinating to me, but alas, it's back to the track for now. So while there's still a chance of rain during this time of year, I'm all for staying as far from typhoon season as possible, giving them a chance at safer track conditions. And I gotta say, I love the cherry blossoms on every second picture in my Instagram feed this week. If the race stays in this spot, you won't hear me complaining. So let me finally get to the track itself. Something that makes it unique is that it's the only figure eight track, which means it crosses over itself. You can see the drivers pass under the track on the onboards, and it's pretty cool. This also means that it's the only track that goes both clockwise and counterclockwise. The circuit is 5.8 kilometers long and will hopefully get to see all 53 laps this weekend. Even though there's only one DRS zone here, it's still a very fast track because there's so many high-speed turns. Of the 18 turns that this track features, I was able to race on the first 7 of them. I just rewatched some of the videos from that day, and I gotta admit that even though I watched them alone, I was so embarrassed at how excited I was. I mean, I loved reliving how happy I was to be there, but I imagine it might be a bit much to anyone who isn't as into racing as I am. If you ever plan to visit the track in the Motopia amusement park beside it, here are some quick tips. Definitely pay for the unlimited pass. There are so many fun rides, go-karts, bikes, roller coasters, Ferris wheel. We had no idea how much there was until we got there. Get there early if you do like rides. We came an hour after opening and we really feel like we missed out on that extra hour. Book your race for the actual Suzuka circuit in advance. They only have the carts out for an hour a day, so if you don't secure one of those spots, you might be out of luck on the day of your visit. Book your spots at the go-kart track early too. You can race more than once here and that one's open all day, but the spots go quickly and you can only be booked for one time slot at a time. So I suggest booking an early time slot and then booking yourself in again as soon as you're done with your first race because it's so much fun. There are a ton of race themed rides, but there's also a ton of other rides towards the east end of the park. Keep going past the F1 merch store and you'll find the rest of them. Depending on when you visit, you might want to hit up the water park. It's included in admission and it's on the very far end of the park. Check the website to see when the water park is open. We didn't bring our swim gear, but to be honest, we weren't upset. Even though it was 40 degrees Celsius, the rides just kept us so busy. If you're taking the bus, check when the last bus out is. This bus gets packed, so you'll want to line up at the stop early. Feel free to message me on Instagram if you have any specific questions. I'm hoping to post a quick reel of my visit when I get a minute this weekend. So they set you up in a cart at the bottom of the main grandstands and you head out right from the starting grid, directly across from the pit garages. The car asks you to swerve back and forth, just like F1 drivers warming their tires in a formation lap, and then the pit limiter turns off and you're loose on the track. You get to experience turns 1 through 6 before the detour that they set up partway through the Dunlop curve leads you back to the checkered flag. Seriously, this is one of my most treasured memories. I had way too much fun. Can't imagine what it's going to be like at my first race, which is soon, I hope. So finally, after impatiently waiting for the past 2 weeks, it's race weekend again. The Japanese Grand Prix is Yuki Tsunoda's home race. It was really cool to see two Japanese drivers on the grid for FP1 last night. If you missed it, Visa Cash App RB let Ayumu Iwase use Danny Ricciardo's first practice session. Ayumu is one of Red Bull's junior drivers and he got to practice alongside Yuki Tsunoda to fulfill one of the FIA requirements, which entails offering two practice sessions to junior drivers. You can head to episode 5 where I review this regulation as well as the role of reserve drivers. Last year, we saw a double McLaren podium here as Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris joined Max on another one of his 2023 wins. 36 and a half seconds separated P1 and P3 last year, so I'm hoping for a little bit closer this weekend. Either way, with the grid getting tighter and tighter with each passing year, there'll undoubtedly be some good battles for positions on this track. Thanks for tuning in, and if you liked what you heard, I'd love it if you gave me a follow and rated my podcast. And if you didn't like it, I really appreciate you sticking around to the end anyways. Catch you at the post-race episode next week. Take care. And as the checkered flag waves for this episode, we thank you for tuning in. Whether you're listening from the grandstands or your living room couch, we appreciate you spending your valuable time with us. Tune in next time for more fun. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss out. Catch you at the next pit stop.